here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Margaret Gray with us here, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. On the line now will be, I hope, not too contentious a debate. It's not even really, I don't really want it to be a debate so much as a discussion from two different political sides about the Saturday Night Massacre, which was, and I do thank Harvey Weinman for attempting the description. You know, Margaret.
Well, he's an elderly man. He was very tired.
Yeah, you sound like he's going to fall out.
Well, don't say too much because he's liable to call back. And then that will be, you know, a whole other level of pain. We do have with us from Charleston, West Virginia, of course, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton there. They are at Roses across from the state capitol there where they usually hold forth after a late-night session doing the business of the people of West Virginia. They're both, I would say, on the liberal side of the progressive side of the political divide, big supporters of President Obama. Here in Southern California is Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California, very much a conservative. He's also a teacher. He is a member of the board there at Belmar, their varsity football coach, social sciences, senior class advisor, all kinds of things. Good to have you guys with us. Kurt and Guy, how are things there in West Virginia tonight?
Very good, and very proud to be with you.
And is that you, Guy?
Yeah, right here, Bill.
All right, and Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale. Vernon, how are you?
I'm very grateful you gave me a call here tonight. This is a big topic in our class.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you're a high school teacher, a high school social sciences and history teacher. Did you cover this at all this week?
Yeah, Bill, we talked about the Saturday Night Massacre, and we discussed the events leading up to it. We also discussed who the principals were involved in the so-called Saturday Night Massacre. This was a, if I may, Phil.
Go ahead, please.
I think that's a good idea to have Mr. Dozier do it. He's a high school teacher, you know.
I heard that point with all due respect to Mr. Weinman. I heard his attempt at it.
Well, Harvey, the only reason why we brought him on is he'd been there through some of those events, but you're right. It was maybe a little bit too much for him. So go ahead.
The Saturday Night Massacre was the firing or the resignation, depending upon how you see these things, of the Attorney General for the United States and the Attorney General's assistant. And the Attorney General was Elliot Richardson. The Assistant Attorney General was William Ruckelshaus. Now, the reason why these men were fired or resigned, depending upon what you want to say about this, is because they had been, or at least Elliot Richardson had been directed by President Nixon to dismiss a special prosecutor that had been appointed by the President of the United States, Archibald Cox. Archibald Cox would be the special prosecutor looking into the events of Watergate. And I don't know if the other gentleman here...
Well, I can kind of pick that up a little bit here, Phil, just by way of everything there that Mr. Dozier said is correct. You going to say something, guys?
Yeah. I'll talk about Elliot Richardson.
Now, he already talked about Elliot Richardson. And what happened was the following thing. Archibald Cox was appointed special prosecutor because it was essentially the executive branch of the government investigating itself. You understand what I'm saying? So you have a man that had been appointed by President Nixon going to try to investigate President Nixon. Well, that just won't do. You see what I'm saying?
Well, now let me ask you a question. Who appointed Archibald Cox?
If I could jump in, I think I misspoke. I don't think it was the president. I think Archibald Cox was selected by the Attorney General, was it?
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Vernon. Attorney General of the United States of America at that time, Elliot Richardson, I think he picked Archibald Cox. And the law that created the Office of the Special Prosecutor, the law, and Guy Barton, you have a little information on this.
Yeah, the law that created this man. Understand.
The law didn't create the man. The law created
a... I'm up there. Sorry, the law didn't create the man. The law created the Office of Special Prosecutor. It said you cannot dismiss a special prosecutor except under certain circumstance. There had to be malfeasance, you know, and everything like that. So,
So that's a very interesting thing to know. So the law said, in creating this Office of Special Prosecutor, the law said the only way you could fire him is if he was guilty of some major... problem?
Yeah, that's it exactly. And certainly he was not fired for that reason. Archibald Cox had demanded of the President of the United States the tapes. Now, these tapes that the President of the United States had was tapes that was in the White House, you know.
Let me just jump in here. This is Vernon Dozier. I noticed that you're letting him talk more. I don't mean to say anything to you, sir.
Well, I'm just, I didn't hear you saying anything, so.
Well, I'm going to say something right now. The law said that Mr. Quede is right. The law said you couldn't fire the special prosecutor except for very special reasons, and President Nixon decided to fire Archibald Cox because he had requested tapes that were the president's tapes. These are tapes that have been made in the Oval Office. They were tapes of private conversations, conversations having to do with national security and national interest. And the existence of these tapes came to be known during the Watergate hearings. Alexander Butterfield.
This guy, Alexander Butterfield's name came up early on in the Watergate hearings as the man who. What was he?
I think Alexander Butterfield was a. I don't know. Do you have any idea on that, Mr. Quede?
Alexander Butterfield was. I think he was an assistant to the. Might have been assistant to the general counsel for the president. Might have been John Dean's assistant. Of course, there were all the jokes about Butterfield and whether or not he played harmonica. But
those were not very prevalent jokes because no one to this day really knows who Paul Butterfield is, as much as I wish they did.
Well, I second that, sir. I kudos, sir. And I tip my hat to you, and I raise my glass to you on that one, sir.
Thank you very much.
By the way, so far this has been a very polite conversation. I appreciate it.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Endre, it's taken a great deal of. I'm happy it is too, Phil. But it's taken a great deal of control on my part.
Why is that, sir?
See, it just please don't ask me why. Just it's taken a great deal of control.
No, but I think it helps people understand how they can better get along with each other. You say it's taking a lot of control. Am I irritating you something like that?
Yeah, you are. You're irritating the hell out of me with the whole.
Why is he irritating you?
The whole hey, y'all going around there. You know, I got to tell you.
Well, sir, if I'm not mistaken, you sound like you have a southern accent too. Where are you from?
I come from Texas. All right, I don't come from Louisiana or any.
I didn't say I come from Louisiana. Although, yeah, I'm originally raised in Louisiana. I come up here, West Virginia. You got a problem with that? I hope not.
What's the problem with that? Let me ask you something. What are you supposed to be? Some Gabby Hayes? No, sir. I'm a member of the West Virginia State Legislature. Mr. Ed, I don't need to be insulted by this man.
All right. Just as soon as I said that you guys were getting along great, now all of a sudden we're having an argument. Mr. Dozier, please, if you're getting along with these guys and you're able to stuff whatever your antagonism is, that's great. Let's just do that, okay? Do you mind? I would appreciate it.
I'm Phil. I'm here to help.
Phil, I want to second that. That's all I want to do on this here, too, you know. I'm here to help. I'm here to see that everything is smooth as buttermilk here. You know, I don't want to say nothing or do nothing. We're going to upset the apple cart here. Or even if we're bobbing for apples, I wouldn't want to upset that, you know.
See, this is...
Well, Vernon, just take it easy. We're going to return here as we listen to Vernon Dozier as well as Kurt Quede talk about the Saturday Night Massacre. This is the 40th anniversary tonight of an event that occurred in American history relative to the office of the president, relative to the balance of power between the executive and the legislative, as well as the judicial, relative to what would eventually become the very first resignation of an American president, resulting from all of these events, Watergate, and then the investigation of Watergate, and eventually the threat of impeachment. To a sitting president would have been the first impeachment proceedings to be commenced against the president since Andrew Johnson. It never happened. Nixon resigned. So we're going to be back and talk more about that here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with our guests Vernon Dozier and along with Guy Barton and Kurt Quede from West Virginia. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-507-445, 855-507-445. Online at philhenryshow.com. Visit our souvenir shop and pick up this Phil Henry ball cap. right, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back, I should say. We're talking to Vernon Dozier, Guy Barton, and Kurt Queedy about the Saturday Night Massacre. It's an important topic, I think, because it was, as I say, it was probably one of the most pivotal moments in the political history of America, with a special prosecutor who had been, and this was the first special prosecutor in the history of the country, I believe, Archibald Cox. This man was appointed by the Justice Department. So he was appointed by the Justice Department to look into the Watergate burglary. They didn't want the Justice Department to do it because they felt it was a conflict of interest. They were investigating their own branch of the government. A special prosecutor, somebody who I think was actually selected by the Congress, forgive me, I think, a special prosecutor had a specific scope. The specific duties of his office were outlined, and there were very specific reasons that one could fire him or replace him. But those had to be adhered to, and anything that went beyond that was literally a violation of the law. What happened was Archibald Cox decided that what he needed were these tapes that the Nixon White House had in the Oval Office. He subpoenaed them. Nixon was foot dragging on giving these tapes over. He had sent over copies that had been liberally edited, a lot of sections deleted. Cox again submitted this request, another subpoena, and finally Nixon, I guess, had had enough of Archibald Cox and directed the Attorney General, which was at that time Elliot Richardson, to fire him, and Elliot Richardson refused, saying, and some people say rightfully so, that the reasons Nixon was giving the Attorney General to fire Archibald Cox were not legal. You couldn't fire him for the reasons that Nixon was saying. So with that in mind, I return to our guests, Vernon Dozier, a social sciences and history teacher at Belmar Academy, and, of course, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton in West Virginia. So, Vernon, you're, like I say, probably more prone to forgive President Nixon and to look on that time in history as one in which the Congress overstepped itself. What do you think of what I just described? Anything wrong with that?
Well, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with what you... what do you mean?
Well, I mean, do you disagree when he was fired, when Elliot Richardson was told to fire Archibald Cox and he refused, do you disagree that Richardson had good reason?
Richardson had good reason to resign.
Or to refuse.
Well, I mean, Elliot Richardson was directed by the President of the United States of America. The President of the United States of America. I don't know about you, but I have great respect for that office, and I hope and pray that as I get older, I will see respect for that office return. I'm not talking about the politics of the man. I respect the office of the presidency, whether it's Barack Obama, whether it's George Bush. That's the office of the president. When the president says something, buddy, you better sit up and take notice, because if you don't, I mean, I think that anyone that ignores a president or tells a president to go ahead and stick, I can't stand some of these guys that show disrespect to the President of the United States, and to do that, I think I can't even begin to tell you what I think about and what I'd like to do to somebody that, you know, done did that.
Can I jump in here, Phil?
Go ahead.
I want to concur here with Vernon to a point. I respect the President of the United States. There's nobody that respects the President of the United States more than me. No matter who, we talk about the office of the President of the United States.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. And I respect that, too, but I have to disagree.
Well, I didn't give an opinion yet.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you do? Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I would rather Phil ask me that question. You're not the host of the show.
All right. Well, okay. I'm going to go ahead and give my opinion. I'm glad that they resigned.
I'm still making my comments. What's going on here? I'm still making my comments.
All right. Well, he jumped in with a question, and he made an assumption, I guess, that was wrong. But nonetheless, it was a question that you wanted to ask. Isn't that right, Kurt?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask Vernon. I said, well, why do you agree with the fact that that Archibald Cox ought to be fired? And you don't agree with that?
No, I agree with the fact that Archibald Cox should be fired, but I hadn't said it yet, and you're telling me what I was going to say. I just, you know, it's not...
All right. Why don't you go ahead and just stop where you are right now, Kurt, and let Vernon finish his thoughts, okay?
Yeah, okay. I didn't mean...
What did he do?
He told me I got to wait for this man to finish.
All right, we don't have to talk about me like I'm not here, okay? I mean...
No, nobody's doing that. Gentlemen, just let's... Like I said, let's move forward. We were doing very well, okay?
We were doing very well. Look, Phil, I'm not on the program here to give a manners exhibition. This isn't the Emily Post Hour, okay? And
well, I don't think it is either, sir.
I just wanted you gentlemen to understand that. I mean, I respect your opinion, but I'm not going to sit here and be slapped across the face with someone's wet jockstrap, you know, like they used to do in high school. I'm just saying that.
No, nobody's doing that, sir. I don't think so. I'm just saying that I had opinion. But I thought you'd always express opinion, you know.
All right. No one is trying to disrespect you, Vernon, I don't think. And if you've perceived some disrespect, then let me apologize. And I'd hope that we can move on.
Well, that's fine. I just, you know, I don't think anybody has yet. But I don't want to be sat down and told, hey, Frosh, see this. It's a jock strap we pulled out of the bottom of the crud bin. And you're going to wear it. And then we're going to soak it and slap you in. You see what I'm saying?
Look, Mr. Doja, that sounded to me like you're coming up with some all kind of crazy talk from when you were a coach, you know.
No, this is not crazy talk when I was a coach. I'm just asking to have respect.
People are respecting you, Vernon. No, nobody's disrespecting you, and nobody's slapping you across the face with a wet jock strap. So can we continue?
Yeah, we can. Can I ask, what's all that noise? It sounds like you're in the middle of some...
We're over at a restaurant called Roses. We're having ourselves a cobbler, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I said we over at Rosie have the cobble.
Yeah, what we're doing right have a double gobble. Rosie is a very, very well-built young lady. She come over with a gobble, and we all over that like white on rice. That's all I'm trying to say, but I'm certainly not trying to disrespect anything like that.
Are you guys telling me that you're at a restaurant where there's a waitress with large breasts, and she's doing what?
She's serving up a cobble.
She's serving up a what?
Cobble? What is a cobble?
I don't know how many times I've been on your program. I told you all about it.
No, you told me all about a peach cobbler. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. It's a peach cobbler, right?
Yeah, peach cobbler, Phil. I'm not that damn bizarre.
Okay, it's a peach cobbler. Are we all done talking about peach cobblers? Are we ready to get back to the topic?
I know I am, Phil.
Go ahead.
The, God. You know, I forget where we were.
Can I take over, Phil?
No, I don't want him to take over. I want to remember where we were. If Mr. Hendry, if you could help me.
Yeah, we were talking about the firing of Archibald Cox. Was it right or was it wrong? Let me just ask this. Do you think the firing of Archibald Cox was warranted?
I absolutely do think it was warranted, Phil, because Archibald Cox had overstepped his bounds by going up to Nixon and basically sticking a finger in his chest and saying, hey, you, I want those tapes. And... You know, I think that was wrong.
Phil, nobody stuck a finger...
Excuse me, but I'm not finished yet.
Yeah, let Vernon finish.
I think it was wrong to knock on the White House door like your car just broke down, but in point of fact, you've got a friend hiding in the bushes, and the minute she opens the door, guess what? Clockwork Orange. And I think we all saw the film. And I think that's what Archibald Cox had in mind for Nixon. And I got to tell you, I fear for our country when we have a special prosecutor that wants to pop to the front door of the White House with a big long nose, a derby hat, and disrespect the office of the president by kicking him in the... And you saw what happened. And
what is Pat Nixon, the lady that they threw... You know, this is some crazy talk here, Vernon, okay?
No, it's not crazy. This is, I'm talking in a figurative sense.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been to two World Fairs and a 4th of July picnic. That's the weirdest thing I ever heard in my life. And
this gentleman here with the whole talking like this, would you please just allow me to finish? Just finish.
All right, you'll finish here on the other side of our break. We have to take a break. This is some bizarre jazz, man. What I'm hearing here, and I anticipate what we're gonna hear here over the next half hour is pretty strange, Margaret.
Well, I don't think that Vernon Dozier should be talking about. I thought it was absolutely out of bounds of him to talk about the firing of Archibald Cox or the demanding of those tapes, like the scene in Clockwork Orange where the kid with the big nose. I mean, see, one of the things about that scene, Phil, the woman in that scene reminds me so much of myself because I look so very much like her. And I do have...
You do have what?
You're going to say that men are all like, ooh, for you.
You know, if it mattered at all to me, Bud, your life would be over right now. It really would.
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to be talking about this as we move into the next half hour. Vernon Dozier is with us, along with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. The 40th anniversary of the Saturday Night Massacre, a major, major event in the history of this country, in the history of the Watergate period, when the Attorney General of the United States, as well as his assistant, resigned rather than fire the special prosecutor, and they incurred the wrath of the president. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and you might have seen on the screen there momentarily, I'll put it back for you, Vernon Dozier requested this clip. I know, Margaret, that you don't like it.
I think it is absolutely vile. I think the clip from... I think the film was brilliant, but to show this, even on your subscription service...
All right, let's get the gentleman back up here, Vernon Dozier, as well as Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. Vernon, you're looking at the clip that you requested. This is from Clockwork Orange, and it shows Malcolm McDowell's character, as well as the other members of this hoodlum gang that he was a member of, that he was the leader of, breaking into and attacking a man and woman in their home in the middle of the night, holding the woman while the husband is being repeatedly kicked. You're telling me that this is symbolic of what happened to Nixon?
I am telling Phil, as much as I hate to do this, as much as I hate to say this, that is exactly...
I'm telling you right now, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
Excuse me, gentlemen, may I finish what I'm saying?
You can finish what you're saying, sir. You want to finish this slander, I think. What you're saying is a slander against Archibald Cox, a slander against Archibald Cox and Special Prosecutor slander. And
all right, while you're being redundant and repetitive with the slander and talking like you just got off a bass boat in Baton Rouge, I'm talking about the future of my country.
I'm talking about my country, too, sir, and I think what you're talking... Look at this. Over and over, he's kicking... So you're trying to tell me that Malcolm McDowell's laying a boot right into Richard Nixon and kicking his groin in, and that's fine. You can say that all you want. Don't make it true.
Let me tell you, Mr. Hendry, I said at the outset of my comments that what the Archibald Cox... The existence of Archibald Cox... One of the things I think you have to understand, I come from a football mentality. Archibald Cox, his name and everything that he is at that time, and it has grown in import since, represents some guy named Archie who's going to come into my house, pick my wife up, spank her on the rear end, and have at it, and kick me, and I'm laying there watching.
Well, sir, it sounded to me like you take things...
Can I talk to the host of the show?
Well, I don't sound like the host of the show is there.
No, I'm right here. I'm right here. I've been listening to you guys, and if you want me to respond to you, Vernon, I will.
I'd like to know what you think of what happened to the President of the United States in 1970. President Nixon forced to resign in 1974 while he was forced to resign while this is going on. While Archibald Cox has got on a... I'm not saying literally, obviously, but I'm saying that Archibald Cox, in a figurative and symbolic sense, had on a big long nose, and
Oh, y'all get out of here, man. Will you get out of here before we send for the man with a butterfly net? We're going to get a guy in a little white wagon on you.
Now, hold on. You're saying that hold on for a second, Kurt. You're saying that Archibald Cox, the special prosecutor who is appointed by the Congress to look into the Watergate situation, basically invaded the White House like Malcolm McDowell's gang did that home in Clockwork Orange.
I'm telling you more than that. I'm saying he had on a big nose with... I'm not saying literally, but I'm saying the act that Archibald Cox was involved in, the very requesting of private materials that are owned by the President of the United States, he might as well have put on a cod piece, a derby hat, a walking stick, and slapped... I God forgive me for saying this, and slapped Pat Nixon right on the end. That's the part that bothers me.
I didn't hear that last part, so can you speak up?
You know what? I've got more respect for the First Lady than to...
Than to say it loud, you say it under your breath. See, that's what I find disingenuous, sir.
All right, slap Pat. Slap Pat.
Slap Pat Nixon on the ass? Is that what you said?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, sir. you really ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Wait a minute. I'm not the guy.
No, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. See, she was the first lady of our country. I'm a progressive telling you that, you know.
That's part of the bad there, you know.
Would you please tell Chatterbox there to either speak English or...
Let me tell you something, my man. I have been in politics a lot longer than you've probably been alive, and I know all about what happened at Watergate. And I can tell you, as disrespectful you might think of what the President of the United States, nobody put on a big long nose and slap anybody on the ass. Nobody put on a jock strap with a big boot and going in wearing a funny-looking hat. That was not the case, because if that was the case, I can assure you I would not have supported that.
No, I would not support anything as disrespectful as that.
Let me tell you something. That's exactly what happened.
All right. That's a fairly concise series of comments, gentlemen. All right, I'm going to get it off. We've had this on the screen. That's a fairly concise. So essentially what you're saying here, Vernon, is that not only was not legal, you don't think it was a legal act for them to appoint this special prosecutor, or at least for him to make the request that he made. You find it an insult to the very office of the president, and you've had me look online and put on the screen Malcolm McDowell in Clockwork Orange kicking this writer in, you know.
Let's say it. Let's say he's kicking the writer right in the
testicle. Hey, you know something, man? I can't hear.
Hey, okay, something, man. What can I do for you, man?
I can't hear what you're saying.
I said Malcolm McDowell is kicking that writer in the testicle. Are you guys kicking the what?
I think he said the testicle.
But let's not whisper things on this show. I've got a problem with that with one of my co-hosts. I don't want that with my guests. You don't need to say he's kicking the man straight in the gut is what it looks like to me. And that, I do not agree, was done to Richard Nixon. All right.
Mr. Henry, you brought me on the program here to tell you what's up, all right? Now you're going to turn around and say, well, thank you for telling me what's up, but now why don't you sit down and let me tell you what's up?
Let me tell you what I think, if you don't mind. If you don't mind. Oh, well, excuse me.
Phil, don't get pouty. Just go ahead.
Archibald Cox, the Office of the Special Prosecutor was created to look into the Watergate because the Congress rightfully recognized how can the executive investigate itself. The Attorney General of the United States respected the formation of this office. There were very specific and very, very concise guidelines as to how you might effect the removal of a special prosecutor. And one of them was not, well, he's asking me for stuff that I don't think I should give him. That was not one of them. If he subpoenas the President of the United States with a legal subpoena for materials relevant to a case, the President had to turn it over. The President fired him. The President didn't fire him, but the President directed Elliot Richardson to fire him. And Elliot Richardson, rightfully so, because he knew what the law stated that had created the Office of the Special Prosecutor. The law said, you can't fire this man for just any reason. So Richardson refused. The president was giving him an unlawful order. He was telling him to fire this man, and there was no legal cause to do it. So Nixon says he fired Elliot Richardson. Elliot Richardson says he quit. The next in line was William Ruckelshaus. He was the assistant attorney general. And Nixon said to him, okay, now you fire Archibald Cox. Archibald Cox, you know, was the special prosecutor. He wanted Ruckelshaus to fire him. Ruckelshaus said the same thing Richardson said. I can't do it, Mr. President. The guy is legally, he's given you a legal subpoena. I'm not going to fire him. So, again, Nixon either fired him or Ruckelshaus quit. As I remember it happening, both men resigned. That's how I remembered it.
Well, you know, so until you were a young anti-establishment, excuse me for saying this, Phil, a punk.
Well, hold on, I'm not done yet. All right, I'm not done yet.
Well, you call a man a punk, you know, what were you back then?
I had a little bit of respect. A little tiny. I wasn't going to go into a guy's house wearing these steel-toed boots and start laying into him while his old lady is thrown over some big fat slob's shoulder. I wasn't going to do that.
What is it with you in this movie, Clockwork Orange, man? You're seeing all life through it that way?
What? What did you just say?
What is it with you comparing everything to Clockwork Orange?
I didn't compare everything to Clockwork Orange. I said Archibald Cox giving Nixon a subpoena for the tapes was like Malcolm McDowell going into that writer's house and kicking him in.
don't want to say the word, but I'll say I heard what he said. He said nudge, you know.
Hey, let me tell you something. I did not say
nudge.
If you want to know, I said nuts, okay?
All right, fine. You said nuts. You know, you make fun of my accent.
No, but forget that. I'm not finished yet. Finally, Ruckelshaus quits. That leaves a man by the name of Robert Bork. Some of you may remember the name Robert Bork because he was up for a nomination to the Supreme Court of the United States under Ronald Reagan. Robert Bork then did fire Archibald Cox, I should say, after the resignation of Richardson and Ruckelshaus. Robert Bork became the acting attorney general, and he did fire Archibald Cox. This was illegal. And this precipitated a massive a public opinion revolt against President Nixon. Up until that point, Nixon had, I would say the country was, you know, divided, maybe not evenly, but Nixon had a pretty good solid base of support. After the Saturday Night Massacre, public opinion really started to turn against him. People were saying, now, wait a minute, what's he... They just went through this big rigmarole about having a special prosecutor, and all of a sudden this cat is firing this guy? And, you know, so it was very strange. It was very strange.
Well, and the other thing, Phil, is they went ahead after they fired Cox, they hired a new one. I mean, I wish Nixon would have stuck to his guns and said, you know what, you can kiss it, and you can kiss it on Main Street when the sun is high in the sky, because I'm not going to have another one of these special prosecutors. The one you appointed came into the White House, yes, threw the First Lady over his shoulder.
All right, enough of the Clockwork Orange comparisons, man. I'm done with that. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We're going to be right back here to wrap up our interesting little look back on the Saturday Night Massacre 40 years ago today. Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show here with Vernon Dozier and Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from West Virginia talking about the Saturday Night Massacre. And, of course, we'll take some phone calls from you as well at 855-507-4445. So we have the Saturday Night Massacre, even to this day, a disagreement as to the legality of it. But I would have to say, overall, Vernon, I'm sorry to disagree. Overall, it was an outrageous act. And the reason why I say that is the acting attorney general, Robert Bork, was then had to appoint another special counsel because it was called for by law, and Leon Jaworski wasn't much different from Archibald Cox.
Well, you know, I don't care whether or not this guy, Bork, that was another problem. Bork was a solicitor general. I thought Bork was you know, there's a scene, Phil, in The Wild Bunch where Robert Ryan is looking up toward William Holden and his gang. Robert Ryan's chasing them. He is a member of the law enforcement, and he's chasing them. And yet he says to the men that are with him, I'd rather be with those men that I'm chasing than be with you, because all you guys are egg-sucking, chicken-stealing gutter trash. Let me tell you what. I'm sure that Richard Nixon probably looked at Robert Bork and said, those are men out there, and all I got from here, you know, I got egg.
Well, that's a hell of a thing, calling Robert Bork egg sucker and chicken stealer.
To me, that's what it was. I think Nixon just said, you know, forget it. I mean, I got no hope, because I had two guys that acted like men. I will give you that. I'll give you that. Richardson and Ruckelshaus, they acted like men.
Well, they stood up for their principles, but you don't think that they were the right principles.
No, I do not. But I will tell you, they acted like men, and I'd rather be with men than some egg-sucking, chicken-stealing gutter trash like Robert Bork or the rest of that trash. Now, I know, I'm like any other man. I could go out with a pretty piece of mountain trash.
All right, let's forget about mountain trash. What did you have to say, Kurt?
First thing I want to say is, as a resident of West Virginia, where the Mountaineers live, and where we stayed loyal to the Union after the Civil War, to listen to someone talk about mountain trash, I take grave exception. I know that you don't mean nothing by that.
Well, I'm saying, I've been out with some of the prettiest mountain trash you've ever seen.
Well, you know something, that may well be the case. You've been out with pretty mountain trash. Well, you call a man egg-sucking, chicken-stealing, where I come from, you know, that's a very dangerous word.
That you can't say, man, chicken-sucker. I didn't say a chicken sucker. I said a chicken stealer.
No, sir. You're right about that, guy. You said a chicken sucker and an egg stealer.
No, he did not. And what difference does it make?
Well, I think there's a very big difference. You talk about a man sucking a chicken.
I never said anything about you guys sucking chickens. I said egg sucker. But the way you guys are acting, without any concern for the Constitution of the United States...
Wait, hold on for just a second here, so I can catch up here. Any concern for the Constitution? You know, we're not going to fight the Watergate fight all over again. We just want to give the historical outlines to it. If you want to do that, you do that in another time, in another place. As far as what you said about egg sucking and chicken stealing, I don't know. I think I vaguely remember the movie you're talking about.
I'm talking about The Wild Bunch, and I'm talking about Robert Ryan saying I'm with a bunch of chicken sucking egg stealers. I mean,
that's what y'all said.
No, I know what he said. He misspoke. So what's the point?
Well, the point is that even in the midst of that political fight that was as acerbic, as vitriolic as any we've ever been through in this country, you can look at your opponent and say, now look at that, that's a man. And I got on my side. What do I got on my side? What did Nixon have on his side? I bet you Nixon would rather have been on the side of Willie Richardson. Is that his name?
No, the man's name is Elliot Richardson.
Who was Willie? William Ruckelshaus. Oh, I'm sorry. William Ruckelshaus and Elliot Richardson. I'll bet you anything, he'd much rather be sitting with them, throwing back a few drinks, maybe even pounding shots, than that chicken sucking egg or chicken that gutter steve the gutter suckers. I'm sorry. I'm so emotional about this.
Let's get rid of all the Wild Bunch references here, and we can just get back to talking about this case. Talking to Vernon Dozier. We're talking to Kurt Quidi and Guy Barton for the West Virginia State Legislature. We'll go to RC at Bradley Military Academy. RC, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Vernon Dozier, Kurt Quidi, and Guy Barton. Go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, really enjoying the broadcast tonight, as usual. And I wanted to ask Mr. Dozier, you're the teacher. Do you think that Archibald Cox was he rubbing Nixon the wrong way on account of he was all intellectual looking and he had a flat top and stuff like that?
I think that that's a very good possibility. Your name's R.C., right?
Yes, sir.
I think that's not a bad statement, because I think Nixon had a problem with some of these eggheads, some of these four-eyes that tried to walk into that White House and say, well, here's how it's all fallen together, Mr. President. And I think he right away bristled at that. I think the president was a simple man. I think he was a man of learning. He'd been to college, and certainly had been through the School of Hard Knocks, including service in World War II.
But wasn't Nixon in the Navy?
Yeah, so what?
Well...
Excuse me, what does that mean?
No, never mind. What does it mean, R.C.?
Well, I just said the Navy is not as good, say, as the Marines, but yeah, it was good.
Let me tell you something, son. That was World War II. World War II. All right, so they weren't just out floating around in the Persian Gulf pulling it.
Well, I think that's pretty mean to say about that.
Not trying to be mean, but you're the one that said wasn't Nixon in the Navy, and then you're all, well, I'm saying, you know.
Well, let's just get past that. My main question, sir.
Hold on for a minute, then we get past it. I'm the teacher, you're the student, all right? When you tell me to blow it off and tell me to get past it, I look like about 100 yards of ass to anybody listening. Now, I'm telling you that Nixon was a tough guy and respected tough, and he didn't respect these eggheads and four eyes, just like you said this Cox was. The guy had a flat top and he had a tweed.
The guy had a flat top and a what?
Flat top and a tweed jacket.
Yeah, so what, he had a flat top and a tweed jacket? I own about 5 tweed jackets. I usually have a flat top. Well, I never had a flat top, but
Since you had a flat tire.
What do you mean about, yeah, I've had flat tires.
No, I mean a guy walking up behind you and giving you a flat tire on your sneaker.
What are you talking about, kid? Are you some kind of an idiot? We're talking about...
All right, thank you very much, R.C.
Baba Booey, Baba Boop.
Thank you very much for that. Boy, I'm going to kick someone's ass.
I didn't know he's going to do that.
That guy's your friend, isn't he?
Yeah.
Baba Booey.
Let me tell you something, Phil. I don't care. People can come on here and say, you know, whatever their little code word is.
You ain't never heard Baba Booey?
I don't care if I've heard whatever you call it.
Baba Booey is Baba Booey is what they say on a Howard Stern show.
Yeah, on the Howard Stern. You guys talking about Howard Stern? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Howard Stern.
Hey, you might want to say it right. I don't care. I wouldn't listen to that show if they paid me. Okay, I barely can take a lot of the talk radio program.
All right, thanks very much, guys. I had to get out of that because it was driving me ape.
Well, I thought it was rather interesting. I thought it was interesting how Vernon paints himself into a corner. The Clockwork Orange comparison was offensive and vulgar and foul. Vernon talking about Archibald Cox being a four-eyed geek. And then, of course, just the entire discussion of Pat Nixon being slapped on the ass by a big fat slob in a derby hat.
Yeah, disrespectful.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, but yes, that was disrespectful. But a big fat slob in a derby hat, you know, what we're talking about here is a film depicting the violent invasion of a home by a gang of scum that was hell-bent on causing all kinds of pain and anguish to the people that were in there. So, you know, forget about whether or not it was a big fat slob in a derby hat. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show back for another hour of scintillating conversation and like that, Matt, including the jazz that's been going on in Washington this week. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.